This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Justin Jones, one of the two black lawmakers in Tennessee ousted by the Republican majority, was reinstated on Monday to his position on the state House of Representatives by a unanimous vote of the Nashville Metropolitan Council. Jones and his fellow Democrat Justin Pearson were both stripped of their seats after they led protests against gun violence in the wake of a mass school shooting in Nashville. Their fellow Democrat, a white representative named Gloria Johnson, survived expulsion by just one vote. The three lawmakers, known as the Tennessee Three, have faced accusations by Republicans of bringing, quote, disorder and dishonor to the House. They have countered that Republicans are distracting from their inaction over ongoing gun violence. My guests are DeMario Cooper, co-executive director of the Center for Popular Democracy Action, and Lisa Sherman Luna, executive director of the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights. Welcome to the program, DeMario and Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa, let me start with you. You've been on the ground in Tennessee, in Nashville, leading protests, participating in the very vibrant and important protests that have been taking place, not just in response to the horrific mass shooting that took place at a school in Nashville, but also in response to how these young, newly elected lawmakers have been treated by the Republican majority. Give me a sense, first of all, of the anger on the ground, the grassroots sentiment to the shooting and then to the, you know, what many are calling a travesty of democracy in the House of Representatives in Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, I lead an immigrant power building organization, and we work in close coalition with Black-led organizations, and people have been fed up for a long time. The anger that you're seeing on the TV is manifesting itself, but it has been brewing for decades now as the GOP supermajority has suppressed our voices and marginalized our communities. Right now, you're seeing all of that anger play out on a national stage, and people are just fed up from all walks of life. We are hearing this not just from folks in the progressive movement, but also conservatives who are tired of the control of the GOP supermajority and their inability to pass common sense legislation, not just on gun reform, but on healthcare and education and issues that impact families from all classes.
And DeMario, what are you seeing as the response to what has happened in Tennessee? How are you viewing, in particular, the expulsion of these two young black lawmakers, the two Justins, Justin Pearson, Justin Jones? Jones was just reinstated Monday. Pearson may be reinstated Wednesday. What do you view this as?
You know, I think... We're looking at a move that's been happening over a set of years, right? But it's very reminiscent of what happened a couple centuries ago. We keep talking about this post-Reconstruction moment we feel like we're in, which is the result of, you know, frankly, having a Black president in office and the reaction that has caused from some of our more extreme right-wing citizens. I tend to refer to what's happening right now is not like it's not really the Republican Party and some of these things that we're seeing. What we're seeing is Confederates who are trying to reestablish white supremacy in the country. And I say this in the context of we all know what happened on January 6th, which was an attempt to overthrow our government or insurrection, where a bunch of folks literally ran into the state capitol, the United States capital of the United States. And we're threatening to kill legislators, right? This happened, if you go back to the Great Compromise and you go back to what happened at the end of Reconstruction, establishment of Jim Crow, what we saw was, you know, disgruntled white folks run into state capitals and kill folks. And then what happened after that was state legislatures began to expel particularly Black men who were duly elected at that time. They started expelling these Black men out of their positions. And really, in this case, which we're seeing, and our network actually is reacting to this in a way that it is a grievous injustice to democracy, that that the legislature would even attempt to basically disenfranchise the over 100,000 folks who put these people in office. So the way that we're seeing this is in the context of a lot of larger issues, as our other guest has spoken to, that these issues in this moment in American history are like the fight of the day. You know, Du Bois said that race would be, you know, the color line would be the discussion of the 20th century, and it looks like it's going to be in the 21st century, at least the beginning. Because, you know, if legislature can just disenfranchise people in the community in that way, you know, what else can they do? We've already seen attacks on abortion. The 14th Amendment is being eroded. The Civil Rights Act has been gutted. It's very important that we pay attention to these types of, you know, brave and brash disrespects of our constitutions, of our democratic right and our citizenship rights.
And actually, let's watch a short clip of the speech made by Representative Justin Pearson, one of the two of the Tennessee Three who was expelled. This was a speech that he made on the floor of the House of Representatives in Tennessee, and it's gone viral on social media for good reason.
I believe I'm in the well today because you have put forward a resolution that says that it's more important to expel voices of dissent than do the work of justice, which is fighting to end gun violence in the state of Tennessee. I believe that I'm in the well today because I, with the courage of ancestors and family and loved ones and community, stood up and spoke up for folks like my classmate Larry Thorne, who can speak no more because of the proliferation of guns in Tennessee. I believe that I'm in the well today because you have decided that it is not right to have debate. It is not right to listen to the voices of the minority. I believe I'm in the well today because on the day that we wanted to honor the thousands of people who protested, we were denied that opportunity. I believe that I'm here because you feel in your heart that it is right to persecute someone who has committed no crime, who has only broken what you call a House decorum rule, which according to Section 19 of the House Permanent Rules of Order say that at worst the thing that should happen is censure. But instead you have brought forward a terrible resolution to deprive and disenfranchise thousands of people in Shelby County of a representative who will and can speak and advocate for them. And I believe, Representative Farmer, that that is wrong.
And that is Justin Pearson, one of the young, newly elected Black lawmakers, a Democrat who was expelled along with his colleague Justin Jones off of the House of Representatives in Tennessee. Their colleague Gloria Johnson survived, her position survived expulsion by one vote. The three have been called the Tennessee Three. Lisa Sherman Luna, you have been on the ground and you mentioned some of the sentiment that's happening inside Tennessee right now as there's this national and really international spotlight on what's unfolding there. And I'm wondering, first of all, how important it is to recenter the conversation on the issue at hand that the protests were about, which is gun violence and this horrific scourge of mass shootings that have drawn children to the Capitol protesting to say, why won't you do anything to keep us safe?
Yeah, you know, what started out as common sense, a cry for common sense gun reform really resulted in a full-on assault of our democracy. As a mom here in Nashville, where my children go to school very near where that happened, and as an organizer, I jumped in with several other organizers who are also moms. We helped get elementary kids to the legislature because we knew that it was a moment for our legislators to have to confront the lives that they are putting at risk by not taking action. You know, it is something that Nashville and Tennessee is still reeling from and healing from. But I think that the calls for gun reform have really opened the eyes to a lot of folks to the reality, which is that the GOP supermajority does not reflect our people and is not passing policies that benefit families and children and our communities as a whole. And so we're looking at it as an opportunity to educate the broader community and bring people into our movement and recognize the scourge of white supremacy and extremism that exists within the GOP, and work together to build our multiracial, multicultural democracy that meets the needs of our families.
And DeMario, white supremacy and the easy availability of guns and the Second Amendment, those two go hand in hand, right?
I mean, historically, yes. So especially when we think about the reason for, you know, the reason why white supremacists would feel the need to make sure that folks have assault rifles in communities. Who are we trying to control? Who are we trying to protect? And especially when the children are coming out and saying, like, we actually want and deserve safe and thriving communities, and to not acknowledge that after, you know, so many like school shootings, not to even speak of like regular, you know, shootings in community that we still remain unresponsive to, or we think that the only thing that we could do to deal with violence in our community is to hire more police, which we already know there are alternatives to that. That there are other ways that we can create safety inside of our communities besides just taking money and investing into carceral systems. And at the same time, we're wondering, like, you know, who's paying who in order to make sure that we don't change the laws around assault rifles? They make no sense inside of communities. We know that. Everyone knows that. There may be folks who argue about hunting, but you don't need an assault rifle to hunt. So like the question is, who are legislators trying to protect to the point where they're willing to undermine our democracy to protect those people? And the more of our folks who know what's going on, particularly people in communities, understanding their vote, understanding the reason why their vote is important, you know, this is our opportunity to continue to educate folks. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer said, if the vote wasn't important, then why would they be trying to keep it from us, right? And we see voter suppression bills, we see the gutting of the Civil Rights Act. These things are all implications around trying to limit people's ability to participate in their democracy. And I agree with Lisa. You know, the Center for Popular Democracy agrees with Lisa. We have 48 affiliates in 34 states, including DC and Puerto Rico, who are all committed to creating that multiracial, multicultural democracy that we know will help humanity actually move forward. And so when we think about white supremacy, I think it's reached a point where people are ready to go to extremes to try to protect what they think is the right structure for them. But the country's changing, and more people are educated, more different types of folks are coming, and people are starting to understand that actually having a multiracial, multicultural democracy is a way for us to keep all human beings thriving. And I, for one, am an advocate of us like actually getting to this future that we really could have, where we're sharing public resources and making sure that we're creating healthy and thriving communities for all people in this country. So I hope that we get to that point. And I think these are the fights that we must go through on our path to creating a world where we can all thrive. But yes, I think white supremacy is in the death throes, and is willing to go to extremes to try to protect itself. And, you know, the folks who fight in a good fight, we have to lean in right now. So. And I think that's what people on the ground are doing by making sure that Jones and Pearsons are put back in office. I mean, you can see immediately the turnaround of the local community and saying, we're going to reinstate you immediately, go back and represent us. And the fact that someone would try to take that representation means that they're not actual patriots. They're not people who believe in our country. And they believe in, you know, serving the interests of wealthy gun owners or gun factory, gun control, you know, like. The gun factories, I'm sorry.
The gun manufacturers of the lobbyists.
Yeah, gun manufacturers.
Yeah. Lisa, let's talk about the mechanics by which some of this is unfolding right now, just as an aside, so that those who live outside Tennessee can understand. Justin Jones and Justin Pearson were expelled, but as of this recording on Tuesday, Mr. Jones has been reinstated, and that happened through a vote of the Nashville Metropolitan Council. Pearson is potentially going to be reinstated by Wednesday. Explain what that means. How does that happen? Does it mean that they're back in full force, or they have to run for election to be properly, you know, able to carry out their duties and their seats on the House of Representatives? Explain it for the non-Tennesseans.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second, but I want to hit on something that DeMario said earlier, which is, you know, in Tennessee, our organization, Turk Votes, which is our political arm, as well as a Black-led organization called the Equity Alliance and our local labor union, actually mobilized in 2019 to elect the most progressive council in the history of the city of Nashville. It is because of that power building that we are doing in Black and Brown communities that Justin Jones was unanimously reappointed to serve in his duly elected seat. And it is that exact power that we are building that is threatening the GOP supermajority and the white supremacists in our legislature. They have not only taken this extreme step to attack the Tennessee Three for being the voice of the people in this anti-democratic step, but they've also split Nashville into three separate congressional districts to dilute our growing power. They have attacked our Metro Council this year. Actually, yesterday, there was an injunction that put a hold on their efforts to reduce council from 40 to 20.
That happened on Monday, right? Yeah.
Yes, sorry, that happened on Monday, yes. And it is just a direct attack that we see to the growing demographics here in Tennessee. Immigrants and refugees and people of color are growing at a rapid pace, and we're exerting our voice and our vote and building power in community with each other here at the local level. But the next step will be for the governor to call for special elections in both of these seats, and our organizations will be mobilizing. We know that these candidates have broad support, but and so we're building towards that moment, but also beyond that moment. There's going to be elections in our state house in 2024. And with this momentum, with the national attention, we hope resources will flow in to really help us to have the resources and the capacity to flip this state and turn it back in the right direction.
You know, these are such important points. And DeMario, I'd love for you to jump in to reflect on the fact that there is this changing demographics of the country are finally, slowly percolating into the halls of power in terms of representation. We've seen it a little bit at the federal level. We're seeing it now in states, in spite of aggressive gerrymandering by Republicans and other sort of, you know, basically modes of cheating to ensure minority representation and minority control. We're seeing young lawmakers of color like Justin Pearson and Justin Jones and others start to, you know, demand their full citizenship rights. Do you think that this is the kind of thing that can transform the South, where Republicans have retained such a stronghold, especially in state legislatures?
So I want to back up a little bit on that question, but I do want to answer it. So, like, what's really happening is you're seeing these organizations like the Equity Alliance, Tennessee Equity Alliance, the group that Lisa works for, like, we're becoming more sophisticated. The Center for Popular Democracy, like, again, is the 48 affiliates across the country, we're becoming more sophisticated. Everyone saw what happened in Georgia, right? Everyone saw that we flipped the Senate seat there and that it's possible to win in Georgia. What we do know is that we got the numbers, right? Like, there's literally more of us than them. If you count Black and Brown and people of color voters in the electorate, plus white electorate voters who really want to see a future where everyone can thrive, a multiracial democracy in future, like, we have the numbers to win. I think what we're seeing with Justin Pearson and Justice Jones is that, like, this is the beginning. You know, we are in a place where more and more representatives that come directly from communities that have been historically underinvested and disenfranchised will continue to rise. The more people that we engage at the base, the more people who understand what's going on, the more people are activated, motivated, and mobilized to not just go out in the streets and protest, but to participate in our democracy and become civically involved. not to protest. We should do that. But we also have to do the work of making sure that we understand the structures and where the strategic moments to intervene. And I think that we are becoming more and more sophisticated as a group, as a population of people. And so, yeah, I think we will see more of this. But on the other side of it, we're going to see more pushback. We're going to see, you know, our conversation we're having right now is not the only place that this conversation is happening. I think that conservatives, and particularly people that I call Confederates, who want to bring America back to before the 1860s, right? Like the actual Confederates, I think they're going to become more aggressive as well. They're going to try to cheat. They're going to try to change laws. They're going to make it harder for people to vote and participate. They're going to try to kick out young Black duly elected legislators. They're going to try to pack the Supreme Court and local courts and federal courts. They're doing all these things, like, and we just have to be vigilant and continue to be vigilant and remember that we actually have the numbers and we actually have a future that we can actually move towards and pursue and go forward towards, right? Where there's a massive public investment. Like, you see the infrastructure money coming down, but there's actually another type of massive public investment where everyone could thrive. You know, you look at, and I just shamelessly plug this book everywhere, but Heather McGee wrote a book called The Sum of Us. And it details the way that white folks get hurt as well when we allow racist policies to take away our public goods. And I think, you know, the more people to understand what's really going on, and the more people who are willing to take action to prevent it and to, like, actually pull and bring in the future that we and our children deserve, you know, yes, you're going to see more young, intelligent, beautiful people of color of all genders, races, colors, sizes. You're going to see that come throughout the South. Why? Because there's a lot of people of color, Black people, brown people in the South. And the more that those folks are activated, educated, and mobilized towards becoming representatives, we'll see more of it. And again, we'll see, you know, white supremacists will try to do what they need to do to prevent this thing from happening.
Now, it's not, of course, just about race, right? It's about the values that our majority of people of color espouse. Lisa, there are lawmakers in Tennessee who are themselves immigrant and yet right-wing, right? So how important is it to tease out the fact that we need folks who are representative of the majority that want a multiracial democracy? Because the right would love, and Republicans love, conservatives of color, even sure. if there's not that many of them.
Yeah, there's just one in the state legislature, yeah. Representative Savi Kumar, yeah. Who really gave an appalling speech on the House floor, essentially trying to lecture the Justins into assimilation and telling them that he had assimilated and they should assimilate it. And we find this narrative extremely dangerous. It is a narrative that is used by white supremacists to divide immigrant communities from Black communities. And it exists in immigrant communities from all over the world. And it's something that we work to combat through education, through creating spaces for organizing and power building that are multicultural and multiracial. And it's been incredible to watch the diversity in our movement here in Tennessee and how we have grown that power. We're actually hosting our first candidate and operative training program in June to train immigrants and refugees to run for office in Tennessee, because it's so important that folks that look like us and share our values are at the table making decisions. And we're really excited about the power that we're going to continue to build in the state and the momentum that this moment has given us in that work.
What about going back to the issue of gun violence? Lisa, do you think that there is enough momentum? I mean, it's hard to figure out at what point Republicans can be shamed into doing the right thing. Dead children are not enough to move them. Has there been any inflection or turning point that you can see that would force them into doing the right thing? Or is it, are they a lost cause that you feel just need to be voted out of office because they just won't do the right thing no matter how many children die?
Well, Well, it's interesting you asked that today or on Tuesday, because just about an hour or two ago, the governor announced that he is signing an executive order on guns. I haven't had a chance to dive in and read it. I also am just very well aware of how a lot of times these policies can really target and harm Black and Brown communities through overcriminalization. But it shows the pressure that he is feeling and that lawmakers are feeling in this moment. We have not had this kind of sustained action against the state legislature in a very long time. The media has woken up and it is starting to investigate Speaker Sexton, really pulling out a lot of skeletons in people's closets and holding elected officials accountable in a way that just has not happened because of the lack of attention, the lack of resources. So again, we're really excited that all eyes of the country are in Tennessee, because we have been sounding the alarm for a very long time. We are a testing ground. We are 100% the blueprint for how the far right wants to topple our democracy and wants to erase power that we've been building at the local level all across the country. And national groups, Tennesseans, everybody needs to be in this fight to help us to protect our democracy and ensure that we set Tennessee and the country on the right track.
And actually, let me quote from the bill, that an executive order, rather, that Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed on Tuesday, calling it an order of protection law. Quote, new strong order of protection law will provide the broader population cover and safety from those who are a danger to themselves or the population, said Governor Lee, which basically sounds like enforcing background checks, which, you know, maybe might address the issue of gun violence in a marginal way. It still, of course, as far as I can tell, doesn't actually do much about the easy availability of guns at places like gun shows. But I suppose the details will reveal themselves in the coming days. DeMario, any thoughts on this issue of whether there is a turning point on the issue of gun violence?
You know, I just believe power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. Frederick Douglass, we have to build more power. And I think this is an opportunity for us to have more people understand what's going on. I think, you know, making the governor react is one thing, right? Like the actions and the reaction. But we have to make sure that we continue to apply pressure, not just in Tennessee, but across the country. We have to continue to apply pressure around this issue, or we're going to see more, you know, more of the same.
I'm wondering if the two of you can also talk about the importance of seeing this kind of training that you were referring to earlier, Lisa, and impetus for young people of color who are progressive to start running for office. It used to be, I mean, I recall a time when, you know, 10, 20 years ago, some on the left dismissed the notion of trying to change government from within, that it was only outside pressure that would work. But it turns out that there's much to be said about inside-outside strategies, and we're seeing more and more people who are young and progressive coming from the grassroots or not politically connected previously, running for office and actually winning elections. So I'm wondering if we can wrap up our conversation on this note of how we're going to be seeing more of that, not just in Tennessee, but around the country, not just in state legislatures, but maybe local ones and also then federal ones.
Yes, right? Like, I think what we've learned is when people from the community end up on the ballot, it motivates the community to show up to vote. I've been in conversations where people will say things like, I think they'll say stuff like, this number can't be right, because the last census, it was more people who voted for Barack Obama in 2012 than it was Black people in the state in the last census in 2010. And I'm like, the amount of people who voted for Barack Obama probably showed you how many Black people are in this country better than any census ever, right? Like, there are more people who are coming from communities that look like folks, look like the electorate, and I think people are going to show up to vote. There's a group of young people who have lived through some movement moments and understand that not only do we need an inside outside strategy, but the government is our government. It is our government. If we are the people of this country, this government should serve us. And I think younger people are starting to realize that they have something to say about that and they have roles to play in that. And it's just that we're seeing a time that has come. How long do you think people would not recognize that this government, this democracy, if you read our Constitution, that it doesn't belong to us? And I think more people are starting to realize that we have to take a part. We have an active role to play in creating the type of government and society that we want to live in. And younger people, especially people of color, who know that they need to participate at this point and are learning more and more about their need to participate, are starting to do it. I think that's the future we're going towards. But again, like, I think there will be resistance and there will be pushback.
And Lisa, your thoughts on the same?
I think we need all the pressure we can get, both inside and outside. We need to build more power to enact the kind of legislation that our communities deserve from the ground up all the way to Congress. That's why we're investing in building up immigrants and refugees in Tennessee as leaders. Actually, on Saturday, we're having a Generation 2.0 Youth Summit, where we're training immigrant and refugee youth to do civic engagement, to do organizing work. And we believe that they not only should be exerting the external pressure, but also be inside where policies and decisions are made. Both of the Justins came out of movement work. Justin Pearson had been organizing around the pipeline in Memphis, talking to folks on the ground. He is an organizer. Justin Jones had been organizing against the KKK bust in our state legislature. And you see the result of that. They were willing to take a stand for their constituents, for their people that align with their values. And that's the kind of leadership we want to see in the halls of power.
Give out a website for both your organizations, Demario first and then Lisa.
Yeah, it's popularddemocracy.org. You can go there and sign up, join up.
And Lisa?
And ours is TIRRCvotes.org. TIRRC stands for the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, votes.org.
We'll post links to both of those from our website. Lisa, Demario, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your insight.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
My guests have been Lisa Sherman Luna, Executive Director of Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights, and Demario Cooper, Co-Executive Director of the Center for Popular Democracy Action. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.